First Peter chapter number 3, and then Genesis chapter number 2. I encourage you, if you haven't been here the past couple weeks, to let Brother Dale, or Brother Chris and Miss Cindy are in the children's church this afternoon, but if you'll let one of them know, they'll be glad to get you a copy of the CDs from the past couple weeks. We've preached all month on the subject of marriage, and our first message was simply entitled Help for Our Marriages. And then we preached on the responsibility of the husband. We preached on the responsibility of the wife. And this morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to try to preach on the responsibility that they both share to one another. And I don't know, it'd be hard not to recognize it, but our marriages are in trouble. The divorce rate among church-going people is up over 50%. That means that a couple that decides to get married in this time has a better chance of failing than succeeding. I believe it is because in our churches we have done a poor job of teaching our young men and our young women what they are supposed to be. Not just in marriage, but in life. We have raised a generation that does not understand and does not want any responsibility. It's not their fault. The blame lies with us as parents. If your child turns out to not want any responsibility, there's a good chance it's because you did not make them have any when they were growing up. We expect our kids to grow up and have good work ethics and hold down a job and teach them, but we don't want to give them chores while they're growing up. We don't make them clean the rooms. We don't make them take out the trash. We don't make them wash the dishes. Well, they're just children. And then whenever they turn 18 years old, we can't understand why by the time they turn 19, they've had 6 jobs. And nobody wants to hire them. Nobody wants to use them. It's because they won't work. And it's mom and daddy's fault because they've raised them to not have any responsibilities. Well, it's easier to do it yourself than to argue with them. I would agree 100%. But don't stand in shock whenever they turn out to be a bum whenever they leave your house. We cannot expect our marriages to stay together if we do not take on the responsibility that is required of us. And so I encourage you to get those messages. So you got it all figured out, preacher? No, I don't. I've just learned to glean from the one who does. The Bible lays out very plainly, as we have seen, what the responsibility of the husband is. Lays out very plainly what the responsibility of the wife is. And I believe that if we strive to fulfill those responsibilities, we'll probably have a pretty good marriage. Why? Because I have found that the Lord expects more out of me than my wife does. And so if I can strive to keep him happy, there's a pretty good chance I'll keep her happy. And if she'll strive to keep him happy, there'll be a pretty good chance she'll keep me happy. Because my expectations, I've learned, are not quite as high as his are. And so we have responsibilities, and it is our obligation to fulfill those responsibilities. I must admittedly say, and I don't say this to get a sympathy vote, just to be honest, the devil has not fought me any harder over any messages I've ever preached than he has these. I'm thankful that he wasn't able to do it with my wife or between me and my wife. But he has begun to attack the homes of some people close to me. It appears to be succeeding. And I'm sure as I'm standing here, he wants nothing more than for me to not be able to preach what I am this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 3, if you will, you stand with us. 1:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I've stated this every time. But looking at verse 9, we must realize that he is talking to the husband and wife. And he says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. I know there's times that he don't deserve it. I know there's times that she does not deserve it. And what she deserves or what he deserves is for you to chew him out. For you to be blunt and rude and disrespectful because that's what they've done to you. But he says, contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Go with me over in Genesis in chapter number 2. It is where we'll draw our text this morning. Starting with verse number 22 of Genesis 2 and chapter 2 and verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verses 24 and 25, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Be seated this morning. As I said already, and those of you that were here the past several weeks, we have dealt with the responsibility of the husband, the responsibility of the wife. If you don't want to get a CD, you can go on the website, opendoorbaptistrichfield.org, and those messages are on our audio page there. But I encourage you to go back and listen to them. and understand what God expects out of us and the responsibility that is laid upon us. I made this statement last week. I'll make it again. Just as a person is not a father or is not a mother just because they have a child, a husband or a man is not a husband just because he is married. A wife, a woman is not a wife just because she is married. There are responsibilities that we must fulfill. For a person to be a true parent, there are responsibilities that they must fulfill. Bringing a child into this world is the easy part. It is raising them and nurturing them and admonishing them that is the hard part. And so those are the responsibilities that make a person a parent. And so there, as that is the case, there are responsibilities that make you a husband. There are responsibilities that make you a wife. And if you are not fulfilling those responsibilities, then we are not being the husband or the wife that God intends for us to be. And the sad part about it is most of us, before we started this, did not even realize what God expected out of us as parents, as husbands or wives. Now that we know, hopefully we can strive to be that person. You say, well, she's not doing it. Doesn't matter. It's still your responsibility to do it. And she can say, well, he's not doing it. Doesn't matter. It's still your responsibility to do it. I want to touch on three different things this morning, and we will move along with them as quickly as possible. But there are several responsibilities that not just apply to the husband or just apply to the wife, but they do apply to both the husband and the wife. And that is what we want to look at this morning. And here in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 24, we find our first one. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. You cannot have a marriage if you are being controlled by someone you are not married to. Now, the object here and the subject here is the fact that they are leaving father and mother and cleaving to one another. Your responsibility this afternoon outside of Christ is to your spouse. Your first obligation, of course, is to Christ. But secondly, it is to your spouse. It is not any longer to your parents. You say, am I supposed to just cast them to the curb, never go see them, never take care of them? Not at all. But they are not your primary responsibility anymore. They are not your first obligation anymore. Your first obligation outside the Lord is that spouse. We don't generally have a problem with that until there's children born. And I've seen it happen time and time again. Man, a couple is all about one another. They are consumed with each other. All they're worried about is one another and making each other happy. And then that little bundle of the blessing comes into the world. And it is no longer about the spouse. It is no longer about the husband. It is no longer about the wife. But it is all about the child. So what's wrong with that? It's out of order. It's out of order. Wives, your first responsibility is not to your children. It is to your husband. We worry and take care of our children, and we do so a lot of times neglecting our spouses. Sadly enough, my three children that I have, Lord willing, eventually they will grow up and move out. No doubt, it'll be a sad day around the house. It'll be hard to deal with. But the simple fact and the point I'm trying to make is once they're gone, guess who I'm left with? I am back with just me and my wife. And if I have neglected her for 20-some years because of my children, What kind of relationship do you think we'll still have left? If she has neglected me over the past 20-some years for my children, what kind of relationship will we still have left? Your first responsibility is to one another. It is to each other. Don't neglect your children. Don't not take care of your children. But your children come second to your spouse. Why? Just as I said, you're wanting to hang on to your marriage. What do you have to offer your kids if you lose your husband? What do you have to offer your kids if you lose your wife, men? We want to raise them in a home. We want to raise them in a home that is not broken. Now, I've said before, and I understand, and those of you that have been here, you know, I am not for divorce, but I do understand divorce happens. And if it's happened to you, you're not a second-rate citizen. You're not second class in this church. I respect you. I appreciate you. We're glad you're here. But it is not what God intended. And so what we want to provide for our children is a stable home, is a home that husband and wife stay together. When you got married, you intended on doing that for your kids. You intended on having that for your children. And you will lose that if you make your spouse lower on the priority list than God intended. But let me say this, not only will you mess it up if you make them lower on the priority list than God intended, you will mess it up if you make them higher on the priority list than God intended. I said it already, they are first or second only to God. You cannot become more consumed with your husband or with your wife than you are the Lord. Your first priority is to God, then your spouse. You leave father and mother and cleave to one another. So your responsibility is to each other. Second part of that, you leave father and mother. You parents need to get a hold of this just as much as the children do. If you've got kids that are married, you need to be careful how you interfere with their marriage. You need to be careful what kind of advice you give them. Because the hardest thing for you to do is going to be to give an unbiased opinion in that relationship. I pointed out last week, you say, why? Because she is your little girl, or she or he is your son. And so you're automatically going to be drawn to their side of the argument. Let me point out to you that are married, you better be careful how you talk about your spouse to your parents. I know I said this last week, I realize I am repeating it, but I do believe it is important. You better be careful how you talk to your parents about your spouse. You tell them how sorry he is. You tell them how lazy she is. You tell them how he is said whatever he said to you the other night in the argument. You tell your parents what she said and how she responded. And the next time they see them, they're going to have a hard time having the same feelings for them. Oh, you and him, you've made up. Everything's all right. You forgive one another. It's all over. But you remember, you're their little girl. You're their son. And somebody has hurt their baby girl. Somebody has hurt their son. And they have a hard time just pushing that to the side. The best thing you can do is confide in a friend that you know won't say anything if you've got to get it off your chest, rather than run to your mom and daddy. Why? Because you will ruin whatever relationship your spouse has made with their in-laws. You say, you're crazy. I'm just being honest. They'll smile. They'll pretend like they still love him. They'll pretend like everything's okay. But in reality, they're mad. And it'll take them a lot longer to get over it than it will you. You can count on it. So we have two responsibilities toward each other. First of all, my responsibility is to cleave to my wife. I am to cleave to her. She is my first obligation outside of the Lord. My first obligation is not my parents. It is not my children. It is her. Her first obligation is to me. I am to be her life. She is to be consumed with what I am interested in. Why? Because she is my wife. I am her husband. Cleave to one another. Leave father and mother. And then we come to the subject everybody was interested in this morning. And it is the fact that we have a sexual obligation to one another. Now, I will say and need to point out, I guess, I realize that in some cases that it is not possible anymore. Brother Josh, y'all can get mad at him for saying this. He's the one who said it. But I shared it with some of the folks this morning. He said it might be for some of our older folks this morning, preacher, we need to sing Precious Memories. But for a normal, average marriage, it is a part of it. It is not just a part of it, it is a very important part of the marriage. I'm afraid that we try to pretend like it is not near as important as it is. We don't want to make it the subject of marriage. We don't want our marriage to be consumed with that word. And yet, what you will find out this morning, once we get there, it is the sole purpose for marriage. It is the whole reason, the whole purpose that God gives for you to get married is sex. And we will learn that this morning. Let me say that there is more to marriage than the sex relationship, but no marriage is likely to be a happy one if there is not a good and well-adjusted sex life. Before I address the issue of sex inside the bonds of marriage, I want to say a few things about it outside the bond of marriage. I think we at times give our children the wrong idea about sex. It is a subject a lot of times that we as parents don't want to have to deal with our children. I think sometimes it is a subject that we tend to wait too long to deal with our children. What we've done in our homes is we have begun to let the school system be the first person to teach them anything about it. And if that is the case that you have done in your home in this time, in the age that we live in, you have messed up. Because they are painting it in a picture and in a light that you and I as Christians cannot accept. Whenever they are going into middle schools and handing out contraceptive to make it okay for your kids to have sex, there is something wrong. And if you do not paint the proper picture for it before your children hear about it at school, you will lose them to it. And so I believe that we have, because of our fear of it, of dealing with it with them, we have passed it off to somebody else who is not properly dealing with it. We try to paint a nasty picture about it and try to make it something that's just awful. Can I say to you that we have done them an injustice? Because it is not. It is not at all the case. Inside the bond of marriage, it is something that is just the opposite. It is wonderful. It's just how it is. It is something inside the bond of marriage that a couple can enjoy together. Outside the bond of marriage, and you listen to me if you're not married, outside the bond of marriage, it is sin against God. Sin. There's nothing wrong with it. Once you have committed yourself before God to one another in marriage, it's a wonderful thing. Outside of marriage is forbidden by the Lord. Not because it's not enjoyable, not because it's not pleasurable, not because you're not drawn to it or enticed to it. Moses said that he had to make the choice to choose affliction rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Just like any sin, there is pleasure in it. There is enjoyment in it. But outside of marriage, it is sin. It is forbidden. It is not allowed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body." Listen to this. "But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." While sex under the bond of marriage is a wonderful thing, outside that bond of marriage, it is a sin against God, and it is the one sin that God clarifies is against the body. And your body being a temple of the Holy Ghost if you're saved, it puts it in a different class. I know that we like to look at sin and say there's not any different classes to sin. Sin, sin. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that fornication is a separate sin. It is a sin unto the body. It is a sin that once committed, you lose a part of you that you cannot get back. A part of you, you young people listen to me, a part of you that is for your spouse. A part of you that is for that person that you're intending on spending the rest of your life with. And at the age of, God forbid, 13, 14, 15 years old, you give that away to some boy or some girl, you'll never have the opportunity to share that with your spouse. It is something you cannot get back. You lose your virginity, the most sacred gift that you could give your spouse, and you'll never have the opportunity to give it to them. It is something you better protect. It is something you better cherish. Something you better hang on to for the one that the Lord intends for you to give it to. Sex outside of marriage is sin. All sin is against God. But fornication is a sin not only against God, but against the body. He wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, he said, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Of course, he is talking about a sexual sense. You better be careful, parents, how close you let your children get with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. I've said this before, and apparently some of you do not buy it and do not believe it, and that's fine. But it is the truth. If your kids will hold hands in front of you, they're doing more when you're not around. If your kids are kissing in front of you, they're doing more when you're not around. You kids know I'm telling the truth, don't you? It's exactly right. You run off and let them run in the same room together. Nobody around. Go right ahead. And you're going to have a little one run around before you wanted it. Guaranteed. If they're doing something in front of you, they're doing more when you're not around. So if you can limit what they're doing in front of you, you have a good chance of limiting what they're doing when you're not around. You say, "I'm old-fashioned." Call me what you want. Doing my best to protect my children from messing their life up like their daddy did. So outside of marriage, it's forbidden. It's sin. Not only is it sin, it is a sin in a class of its own. But in the sanctity of marriage, and we have to understand that Paul is dealing with the normal marriage. In other words, there are no health issues, there are no other factors involved. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not the power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and praying, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." How important is sex in marriage? Can I say, first of all, it is so important that it is the very purpose of marriage. It is the very foundation for marriage. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." His purpose for creating man and woman was to replenish the earth. That was their responsibility. We all know how that comes about. Therefore, we understand that whenever God created man and woman, that is what he intended for them to do, and it was his purpose for putting them together. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 8, "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." He said, in other words, you'd do good to stay single. That's what Paul said. He said you'd do good to not have a husband, not have a wife. He goes on to say in verse number 8, "But if they cannot, let them marry." For it is better to marry than to burn. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. It is the purpose of marriage. He said, if you can refrain from sex, then don't get married. You wives, if you can go without having sex, don't look for a husband. They're not worth it. You men, if you can manage to not have sex, then don't look for a wife. It's not worth it. But if you can't, then get married. It is the purpose of marriage. It not only is the purpose of marriage, but is important in the sense that it keeps the spouse from temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. What's he saying? You withholding from your spouse will tempt them. It's been said like this many times that if you do not take care of your husband at the house, somebody else will. You can count on it. Men, if you're not willing to take care of your wife at the house, somebody else will. I said the other week, man, we go to work and we go on our jobs and a spouse goes this direction, wife goes this direction, husband goes this direction, and we work on jobs where there's women and with men and men with women, and I'll promise you that if you are not willing to make your spouse feel good, somebody's willing to whisper something in their ear at work. Guaranteed. There's somebody out there that is interested in your man or in your woman right now. And they will do what they can to take them away. That's how it is. And if you will take care of your spouse, then you not do away with it, but you help and their temptation from another person. Your man is not likely to be drawn into a relationship with another woman if you are freely open with him at the house. Same for the woman. Now, he said, in the last part of those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, actually the first part of it, he said, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and praying. I think one of the most embarrassing moments my wife ever had since I've known her was when we were standing at our wedding rehearsal. And we've run through everything, and we're going through it the second time, and we're standing up there in front of her grandfather who is marrying us. And as they're singing the songs, he looks at us and says, Lisa, there's going to be times that Nathan's going to want to have sex, and you're not going to want to. He said, you do it anyway. Told me the same thing. And afterwards, she said, I ain't never been embarrassed in all my life to hear that coming from my grandpa. But it is the truth. He said, defraud ye not one another. He gives one exception to that. He said, if it be for fasting and praying. If you're going to withdraw from everything for a while to fast and to pray, he said, fine. But did you catch what he said? At the consent of the other. In other words, if I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray and I'm going to refrain from sexual activity, it is at my wife's permission. If she decides it, it is at my consent, my permission. That is the only excuse that he gives. I have a headache. It's not it. I'm too tired. It's not in there. That's it. You say, that's crazy. No, that is saving your marriage. That is keeping your spouse from running somewhere else. That's what that is. Listen, I understand that we were created different. And for whatever reason, you get a hold of this, God gave men a sex drive that appears and tends to be far above that of women. But would you agree with me that God is perfect in everything He does? For whatever reason, He chose to do that. And in doing so, He done so perfectly. So if you have an issue with that, then you have an issue with the Lord. And we stress that with men and women because generally that's the case. Because of a man's sex drive, it is usually that way. But that is not always the case. I've counseled with enough people to learn that sometimes it's the other way around. You are not fulfilling your responsibility as a husband if you refuse your wife for sex. You are not fulfilling your responsibility as a wife if you refuse your husband for sex. Now, granted, I said at the preface of this, and I'll say again, we understand that this is in a normal, healthy relationship. There are things that are outside of our control that happen. And as a husband or as a wife, if that takes place with your spouse, hopefully you'll be understanding. Hopefully your love for them will be understanding of their condition. But you and I would be a sorry excuse for a husband if we did it, refrained from it, just because. You'd be a sorry excuse for a wife if you refrained from it, just because. Why? Because, according to the Bible, it is a responsibility that we share to each other. We share the responsibility of leaving mother and father. If you give your parents more attention and more dedication than you do your spouse, you need to get right with God. We are to cleave to one another. The bond between me and her ought to be the strongest bond in my house outside the bond that I have with the Lord. The bond that I have with my children should not come before the bond that I have with her. We have the responsibility of leaving father and mother. We have the responsibility of cleaving to one another. And we have the responsibility of taking care of each other sexually. It is an obligation that God has given to the husband and the wife. Outside of marriage, it is forbidden. In the bonds of marriage, it is the total purpose for it. You and I have responsibilities. It's up to us to fulfill those responsibilities. There's going to be times, I'll promise you, those of you that have been married, you know, there's going to be times when you're not going to want to, you're not going to feel like it, whether you're the man or the woman. You know what it's best for you to do? Do it anyway. Why? Because it will save your marriage. I have tried my best to be blunt this morning without being vulgar. tried my best to get you to understand the responsibility that we have as a husband and wife to each other in the bonds of marriage. If you do not fulfill those responsibilities, you will stand a good chance of losing your spouse. Not only these responsibilities, but the individual responsibilities that God's given the wife and the husband as well. So I'll stand this morning. I want to close this message just as I have the others. There's not a doubt in my mind that there's some here this morning that your marriage is in trouble. Can I remind you simply of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses 4 through 8 again, and simply tell you that your love for your spouse should be able to conquer any problem that you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." Look at this. This is what love will do. It said it beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Your love for one another should be strong enough to carry you through any problem you face with the Lord's help. My wife's going to come to the piano this morning. She begins to play. Maybe it's not the